from Acts chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind. And it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as a fire appeared among them. And a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at the sound of the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us, in our own native language, Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, and Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia, and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, in our own language we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power. All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, 'What does this mean?'" Friends, this is the word of the Lord. We spoke this morning in our young disciples' time about the power of wind. And our scripture today shares with us this analogy. In a real sense, for the very first disciples, that was more than just an image, more than just an application. It was experienced by them, the power of wind. And fire, as the scripture tells us, not fire literally, but it says the Spirit came upon the people as though it was tongues of fire. It was that real, that powerful. You know, I think of the power of wind and fire, and I remember the tragedy that struck the Great Smoky Mountains back last year. The forest fires that threatened and conquered many homes in that region. Several hundred homes were destroyed in the Gatlinburg area. In fact, when they experienced the powers of the fires and the winds that helped expand those fires, that region certainly was impacted in a way in which, y'all, it will never be the same again. I remember my dad and I traveling to Jackson Hole, Wyoming, shortly after my graduation from college. And several years before, many years before, they had had a forest fire there, and you could still see the remnants. For that area, like Gatlinburg, in many ways will never be the same in the lifetime of those who witnessed the destruction. Such can happen with the power of wind and fire. Things are never the same once they're in the presence. But you know, that can also be in a positive respect. Many of us have seen, and it's been well documented, the assistance that entertainer Dolly Parton has offered to her friends and family that lived in the Great Smoky Mountain region. She established through her own personal foundation the My People Fund. And she and many others vowed from the onset of the destruction to designate $1,000 to each family that lost their home for a six-month period. Hundreds of families. And then on top of that, Dolly went on to give $4,500 in scholarships to every junior and senior from high school that was impacted through a loss of home. Today, they've given right at $9 million of assistance to the friends, to the people of their region. And Dolly Parton, when asked about that, she said this. She said, "I know the money helps, But even more than that, I want my people to know that they always have a shoulder to lean on. You see, what I shared with us earlier is true. When wind and fire comes into a region, things are never the same. That can be true in a tragic experience, but it can also be true in a life-giving and unity experience. Those people that were impacted in the Great Smoky Mountains, certainly they've known devastation, but in a similar way, they have known a unity and a love and a share in conquering this problem that they would have not known without the tragedy. Yes, their life too will never be the same. You see, I think that's the promise that we have in our scripture today as we practice the gift of Pentecost to our church. It is, as scripture says, a gift from God. The gift of the Holy Spirit that came into us, symbolized with the wind and fire, and we as the church, as people of faith, like the folks in the Great Smoky Mountains and the folks at the first Pentecost, we, church, through the Holy Spirit, are never the same. We've been changed. We've been gifted with a power and a grace from on high forever. That's the gift of Pentecost, to strengthen us as a people in action to proclaim God's glory in our broken world. Our scripture tells us on after this portion that I read in verse 21 of chapter 2, it says that Peter interprets this event by sharing this. He says, "Everyone that calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You see how the world changed forever in Pentecost? For up until this time, the people Israel were viewed as the chosen people of God, the only people of God. And the church was informed through the grace of the Spirit that God's love is not just for this chosen race, but God's love, saving grace, salvation, gift of life is for all who call upon His holy name. That's the promise, Peter says. He is, "Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Friends, so the church's doors were open. Heaven's gates were flung free for you and me and any who trust in Christ on this holy day. Friends, that's the gift. That's the promise of Pentecost. That God's grace is something for us eternally, but God's grace is here for us even in the here and now. You see, because Peter goes on to say, "It's my prayer that you'll be saved from the destruction of this life, that you'll be strengthened in your journey even now." That was Peter's prayer for people of faith. You know, I heard a story recently of a man that was frustrated with his wife's hearing. Now, I bet some of you are listening now, aren't you? Maybe it's the other way around sometimes, correct? But this man was frustrated with his wife's hearing. So he went to his friend who was a hearing doctor. I'm sure there's a more fancier name for that, but a hearing doctor. And his doctor friend said, "Well, why don't you give her a hearing test?" And he said, "It's pretty simple. Just start off talking some distance away from her. She doesn't respond, move a little closer. Still doesn't respond, move a little closer." He said, "That's a great idea. Then we can prove it. And then hopefully, once the problem is identified, she'll be willing to get some help." Sounded like a great solution. So he did. Later on that day, they were at home in the kitchen. He was all the way across the room. He said, "Honey, what are we having for dinner tonight?" Not a peep. She didn't say a thing. Didn't even turn around. Walked a little closer and said, "Honey, what are we having for dinner tonight?" Still no movement at all. She kept her back turned to him. He got up right behind her and said, "Honey, "What are we having for dinner tonight?" She said, "For the third time, chicken." She wasn't the one with the problem, right? So often, it's tempting for us to look at the problem as out there. Or maybe if it's not tempting for us to see the problem is out there, maybe we do this, church. Maybe at times we say, it's not our problem, and we don't have to be part of the solution. But you know, in our scripture, if we take seriously what happened on Pentecost, when God strengthened us as His chosen people, because friends, you see, the chosen people of God now are any who embrace His love. The chosen people are all of His people. Any who are willing to cling to His grace. And if we take serious the call of the church that the Holy Spirit has come to us to strengthen us and empower us from on high, then friends, guess what? We are the solution. We may not be the problem as the man and his wife was wrestling with who was the problem, what was the solution. Friends, for a broken world, hear this with me. The church of Jesus Christ is the solution. When we think about the tragedies that have happened in our community recently, the tragedy even just yesterday, it seems every week that we're talking about a new terror strike in our world, happened just yesterday in London. The peril in our world, it's easy for us to say that's not our problem right here in Ripley, Mississippi. Oh, thank God we don't live in London. Or thank God we don't live in Jackson, Mississippi, or these other places. But friends, as the church of Jesus Christ, we have been empowered. In fact, we have been ordained with power from on high to be the solution to our world's brokenness. You see, brokenness at its very root is hate, right? And we as the church of Jesus Christ stand in contrast to hate because we are love. Yes, church, we are the solution. Yesterday in the commercial appeal, some of you may have seen the news article where it says, "People who go to church live longer." How about that? Wayne Stevenson placed that on my desk this morning. He said, "I've always thought there must be a connection, and this makes it true." It was a research performed by Vanderbilt University. You see, what it says to us is that being part of the church strengthens, enhances, makes our lives better. You know, many of us have said that. When I go to church as a family on Sunday morning, it just makes my week better. Haven't we experienced that? All the problems, our perils, our fightings, our nitpicking, all that just kind of seems unimportant after we worship together on Sunday. Friends, that's no accident. That is a gift of the Holy Spirit from on high. He has empowered us for a better life together. A longer life, as the research says, a healthier existence. And when we are healthy, you know what that equips us to be? It equips us to help the world. Doesn't that make sense, though? You know, Manya, she was a little sick the other day, and it never fails, and she'll probably say amen when I say this. She cannot get sick without me getting sick. If she starts feeling a little poorly, she gets no sympathy because I say, "I feel bad, too." And you know why? I probably do it subconsciously, because if I don't feel good, I can't take care of her. See the dirty, rotten scoundrel y'all have as a pastor? If you're not healthy yourself, how can you care for another? Well, friends, hear this. We're not perfect. Breaking news, right? We're not perfect, but we are this. We are children of a perfect God. And we've been strengthened, church. We are the healthiest gift and hope that our world has. We are the solution for the brokenness in our world. Friends, I'll never forget. I served on the board of trustees at Memphis Seminary for many years. Many of you are aware of that. And I served for several of those terms with Ruby Wharton from Memphis. Some of you won't know her name, but you'll know her husband's name, A.C. Wharton, longtime mayor of Memphis. And I'll never forget sitting in Miss Ruby's law office once with her. And Miss Ruby and I didn't agree on everything, politically, socially, but we had a love and respect for each other. And Miss Ruby said this to me, being the first lady of Memphis when she made this proclamation. She said, "Jody, the hope for our world is the church." Wow. Such a profound statement from a person whose life had been impacted by politics and community events and other avenues of providing hope. No, she said, the hope for the world is the church. See, I think Jesus understood that. Maybe there's a connection to the fact that when Jesus left this world, he said, "I'm going to give you power from on high because you're the hope for my people." Well, maybe today you don't feel very hopeful. Maybe you don't feel very healthy as the church, as an individual family, whatever you're going through. I understand we are all there at some point. But I want to leave you with this good news this morning. I saw a documentary recently on the Arizona Cardinals, their football team. And during one of their seasons, at the very end of the season, they had six games left. One of their major players, a defensive lineman, was injured. So they went out and they sought a free agent. A gentleman named Red Bryant, who'd played once for an opposing team. He hadn't played all season. And they brought him in to fill in the gap to help them get by for the rest of the season. They asked him when he got there, they said, "Red, are you in shape?" He said, "I'm in shape, but I'm not in football shape. I've got a little work to do." But you see, they took Bryant. Why did they take him? Because they were desperate. And he was the best choice they had. They'd rather have someone else, but he was the only option they had, right? So often, we make decisions like that. We only want those who are the best. We only want those who are at the peak of their performance in our business, in our group, in our life. But friends, hear this with me. God the Holy Spirit came to our world and gifted each and every one of us, not when we were at our best to be His church, but even when we were at our worst. He said, "You are my chosen people. Go forth and change the world forever." Amen. Friends,